Mike Tagubin, hello friend and greetings once again in the wonderful matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Yes, beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ is that bread of God which came down to give spiritual life, eternal life, to all who would by faith reach out, receive, and accept him as their Savior. This is Bob Griggs with the Bread of Life broadcast, and we're delighted that you've turned your radio dial to join us for the next few moments as we look into God's Word and study it together. Today we're getting back into Matthew chapter 24. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. And those of you who do not have a Bible or a New Testament, we would like to send to you a free New Testament containing all 27 books of the New Testament in one volume. That way you can study along with us in our Bible study. And it would be our joy and pleasure to place a New Testament in your hands free and postage paid. All we need is your name, your mailing address, printed clearly, including the name of your country. And it's very important that you print it so that we'll be able to make out the address without difficulty and be able to place this New Testament in your hand. We'll also send you some gospel tracts. We'll send you our prayer card with our picture. We'll send you a 2007 pocket calendar. We'll send you other Christian literature that will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that packet will be sent to you absolutely free. Free and postage paid. It will be sent as a gift, and so you should not have to pay any customs on it. And if you do, it will be because of your mail people there that have charged customs. We have paid the full postage, and you should not have to pay anything for it. It will be our pleasure and joy to place that in your hands. You need to write to us, Bob Griggs. You can address your letter to me, Bob, capital B-O-B, capital G-R-I-G-G-S, Bob Griggs, and then capital P, period, capital O, period, capital B-O-X, 825. That's our address, Post Office Box 825. And then on the next line, you'll put Ignacio, that's spelled capital I-G-N-A-C-I-O. Ignacio, comma, capital C, capital O, period. That stands for the state we live in, Colorado. Capital C, capital O, period. And then our zip code is very important. 81137-0825. The zip code is very important. And then on the last line, you'll write United States of America. Or you can abbreviate it with a capital U, capital S, capital A. USA, United States of America. We do look forward to hearing from you. Your letters are always an encouragement and a blessing to us, and we appreciate so much your taking time to write to us and to share with us your own testimony and the experiences of your own life. And we do appreciate the letters we receive from the different ones that have ministries of various different kinds. And we do seek to try to assist and be a blessing to everyone that we hear from. And we do appreciate your patience with us because the team that does our mailings is a volunteer team. And they, too, have their lives and have to deal with their problems and their jobs and so forth and so on. And so it takes time for us to get a group together to put out a mailing, and then it will take 2 or 3 months for it to reach you because we have to send it by the cheapest way because we operate on You might say a shoestring. We don't have a lot of financial backing behind us. The Lord is our source of supply. We look to Him for our provision. And we often get letters asking for financial help. And I'm sorry, we're not able to send financial help to anyone unless it first is provided to us and designated for you. And so we do know that you're in need also, and we do pray for you, and we do ask that you pray for us. Your prayers are so greatly appreciated. Now, today we're getting back into Matthew chapter 24. Remember, we're studying about the Passion Week, the last week of the Lord Jesus Christ up on earth before He died, was buried, and arose victor over death, hell, and the grave. And then He walked for some 40 days in His glorified body and was seen by many, many witnesses before He ascended back into heaven to be seated at the right hand of God the Father. And so in Matthew 24, we're studying about the events that occurred as He and His disciples had been looking at Herod's temple, the beautiful temple that Herod had built for the Jewish people, beginning with verse 1. And as we go through Matthew 24, we're going to look at a number of different things, for the disciples asked Jesus some questions. They asked Him three questions. And so Matthew 24, verse 3 through 14, records events that will occur before the end of the age. And then Matthew 24, verse 15 through 26, record events of the Great Tribulation, a time of great trouble that is yet in the future. Remember, Jesus was a prophet, and He prophesied of many future events that have even not yet been fulfilled. In Matthew 24, 27 through 31, He records the return of Christ in great glory. It tells about Christ's return to the earth to set up His kingdom upon the earth to rule and reign for 1,000 years, and that's yet in the future, after the Great Tribulation. Matthew 24, 32 through 42 records signs that will lead up to the tribulation period, and verses 43 through 51 record a warning to those who are not watching for the Lord's return and being faithful to serve Him until He returns. And so we see just a brief outline of Matthew 24, which is a tremendous prophetic scripture. Now, beginning with verse 1 again, Jesus went out, departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him for to show Him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And Jesus was looking forward to about 40 years from this time when this event will occur, when there would be a rebellion of the children of Israel against the Roman government, and Rome would send the Roman general Titus to come into Jerusalem and to destroy the city. And we see that the rebellious Jews would be suffering because of their rebellion. And in it, the temple would be burned, it will catch on fire some way, and it would be burned, and the gold of the temple would melt and run between the stones, and there would not be one stone left upon another, literally fulfilling the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ is God, and He knows everything. He's omniscient and all-knowing. And so the Lord Jesus predicts and foretells future events that will occur. And in verse 3, as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of Thy coming, and of the end of the world," or the end of the age, that period of time? And so the Lord begins to tell them of future events that will occur. In verse 4, Jesus answered, said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in My name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And certainly that's being fulfilled even today. For there are many who are proclaiming that they are Messiah, that they are Christ. There are religions that say that their Messiah is coming soon, and that the one that is their spiritual leader is soon to appear. And so we see, I have even seen whole pages of newspapers printed out that Messiah had come and that someone was Messiah. And the Lord said this is going to be an age of deception, and it certainly is an age of deception. There are many false religions and many false teachings and many false prophets that are under the control of Satan that are seeking to deceive and blind the minds of men, women, boys, and girls and keep them from the knowledge of the truth. As 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I believe it is, describes how that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them, and they should be saved. And in verse 6 he says, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." That sounds like our world, doesn't it, beloved? "See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." He said that's not going to complete this age and this period of time. Verse 7, "For nation shall rise against nation, nationality against nationality, beloved, kingdom against kingdom." We see that today, nations at odds with each other and fighting against one another, and there shall be famines. And beloved, you know anything about the world news, you know that there's famines today, and there's people that are starving to death, and pestilence, all kinds of unexpected pestilence covering the earth, and diseases of all different descriptions, new diseases being found and discovered, and earthquakes in diverse places are in various places. And earthquakes are increasing, beloved. There's a great increase in earthquakes from what there used to be, and it's a fulfillment of this passage of Scripture. And all these are but the beginning of sorrows. This is just the start of trouble, beloved. Things are not going to get better. Things are going to get worse. And you and I can expect it. And that's a positive negative, beloved. That's a positive negative. We're not being pessimists. We're facing reality. Because literally, these things are going to come to pass that Christ predicted. And then verse 9, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." This is coming to pass with the nation of Israel. More and more we see nations turning against her. Until next time, goodbye.